Buddy, it's been quite a long time since we had a Friday morning Seder, Friday morning Shmooz, and I'd like to jump in to Parshas Tezriya Metzora, discussing, of course, the tzaraas that comes as a result of Lashon Hara, and the korban that's brought for somebody who speaks Lashon Hara. So the Pasuk tells us, Perek Yud Dalid, Pasuk Dalid, that you have to bring Shnei Tziporim, two birds. That's the atonement for Lashon Hara. And the Zohar tells us that the reason why you have to bring two birds is one bird is for the punishment of speaking Lashon Hara, and the other bird is the good words that could have been said at the same time that a person uses energy and his time to say negative things that are negative words. And Rav Milo Peterman quotes Rav Shua Bells that the reason why one bird atones for Lashon Hara is because, you know, you're sort of like silencing the bird. Like you check the bird, and you sort of misake and atone for the speaking of Lashon Hara. The other bird, what do they do with that bird? They dip it into the water, and they mix it with the blood, and they sprinkle it on the Metzorah, and then it's set free. Right? That bird continues chirping and singing. Why is that? So it represents this idea that that one is getting rid of the negative, the bad speech that was spoken, and the second bird represents the good speech, what could have been spoken about. Now, Lamaisa, we see from here is that not only when a person speaks Lashon Hara, how terrible it is that he squandered an opportunity to speak positively. And this is highlighted in many different sources. The Medrash tells us that Shimon Gamaliel said to his Eved, Tevi. Tevi is a famous slave. Anybody who learned Sukkah knows the Mishnah Sukkah speaks about it. Other Mishnah speaks about Tevi, who's a Talmud Chacham. And Rav Shimon Gamaliel told him to go buy some the best meat, the best cut of meat. And what did he do? He brought him a tongue. And Pesach, my son Derech Agav, we just happened to say, "Oh yeah, I'd like to have tongue this Pesach, this Yontif." And we hadn't had a tongue in a while. And I guess it's a little bit, you know, some women perhaps would gross them out. And then a few days later, a friend of mine said, "Oh, I ordered an extra tongue. We want a tongue." I said, "Okay, I'll take a tongue." So it's quite. I mean, it happened to have been delicious. Actually, I think some people here may have eaten it. Who was here the second? No, not the guys from here. Yeah, you had some.
No,
right?
You didn't have
this. Oh, you finished it already?
Yeah.
Okay, but I had this chus. I know somebody here had it. Natan had it. I had this chus of peeling off the top layer of the tongue. It's quite an experience. And so Tevi the Eved went to get the best piece of meat. It was the tongue. And then the next day, Shmuel asked the worst piece of meat. And again, Tevi the Eved brought back a piece of tongue. So, what's the pshat? And Tevi explained that is the mile of the tongue. The tongue could be the best piece of meat, meaning it could do the most good, but on the other hand, it could also do the most harm. He's also highlighted in the Gemara Baba Basra, the Gemara Baba Basra, Daf Tesam Abayz, says the following, if you give tzedakah to a poor person, you get 6 blessings. However, the Gemara continues, somebody who appeases somebody, somebody who says something nice to somebody, is blessed with 11 brachos. And the Maharal explains, it makes a lot of sense. Right? If somebody's needy for some food, so you give him some money. He goes and buys a roll, a drink, a water, whatever it is. So he drinks it, and it's gone. But somebody who's downtrodden, somebody who's somewhat sad, give him a good word, that can last forever. And that lasts much longer than tzedakah. Again, we're not saying tzedakah is not good, but we're saying giving a good word is that much greater. And Rav Milo Peterman brings down a number of stories to highlight this point. Rav Ishi Zalman Meltzer came from a very the great Rav Ishi Zalman Meltzer, who was in his Evan Ezel on the Rambam, one of the Gedolim of the last generation, also happened to have been the father-in-law of Rav Aaron Kotler. So when he was a Bacher in Volozhin, so he came from a very poor family, and sometimes I guess that would make him sad. And one time, his roommate Reuben Menges was one of the Gedolim. So he saw that he was sad. So he said, "How could you be sad? Don't you remember yesterday the Rishiva quoted you in Shir?" And Rav Ishi Zalman Meltzer said that line, just the fact that his roommate said, "Oh, don't, how could you be sad? The Rosh Yeshiva quoted you yesterday in Shir," gave him so much chizuk. So the Rav Ishi Zalman himself, the rest of his life, understood that giving chizuk to people was of tremendous importance. And when he himself became a Rosh Yeshiva and a Rebbe, so that was something that he kept in mind at all times. And he once had a student Reb Chaim Brim Zatzal, who I actually got to meet once. Reb Aaron David Shlita brought me to see him. He was also, so Reb Aaron David was very close to Reb Chaim Brim. I'm sure he has many stories, and certainly the Rosh Yeshiva has many stories about him. So Reb Chaim testified about a Talmud who was very, very weak, who learned by Rishon Zalman Meltzer. He asked a question, and perhaps it wasn't even such a great question, but it was a question in the middle of Shir. And Rishon Zalman Meltzer stopped and said, "We have to make a L'chaim." Such a great question in Shir that we have to make a L'chaim. Because Rishon Zalman Meltzer understood what worked for him when he was younger, when somebody was mechazek him, he had to give to other people. So he stopped in the middle of the shir, he made a l'chaim, because the question was so good. And Reb Chaim Brim testified that this bacher, for the next 6 months, or perhaps even more, at least the next 6 months, he learned by hasmada, he learned a tremendous hasmada. You see from here this nekuda, that of course we focus on the fact that Lashon Hara is terrible, but anytime you're speaking Lashon Hara, what are you doing essentially? You're squandering an opportunity to say positive language. You're going ahead, how much could you do with words? What a powerful Gemara Bava Basra, as great as it is to give tzedakah, you get 6 brachos, you refine somebody with words, you make somebody feel good with words, you get 11 brachos. That much greater. And they bring another story here, from Chaim Brim. Chaim Brim met like a sad woman who generally is sad, and she said, "Oh, my daughter just became a kavala, she's engaged." So he said, "Who's the chassan?" And she says, "What's the chassan's name is?" And Reb Chaim Brim said, "Wow, unbelievable! Do you know who the chassan ish is?" She's like, "Yeah, of course I know who the chassan ish is. He's the chassan ish of the generation. Reb Kiva Eger, he could be the Reb Kiva Eger, or he is the Reb Kiva Eger of the generation." And he's going on and on, giving tremendous, tremendous praise to this woman. And after the woman leaves, so the person next to Reb Chaim Brim says, "Oh, so you know him well? He's really that big?" He's like, "I don't know him at all. But I saw the woman was sad, and I saw it as an opportunity. It was so important for me to go ahead and speak so highly about the chosun that her future son-in-law." Rav Friedman also quotes the Chavetz Chaim. Now, you know, when we think about the Chavetz Chaim, about Shmir Saloshan, what do we think about? We think, oh, he probably never said a word in his life, right? Here, he never spoke. He spoke a word of Lashon Hara in his whole life. I'm sure that he didn't speak much. But they say that he was not so quiet. He was talkative. But what did he do? He was always discussing most of your Shemayim. You know, it's obviously an example of things that we could do. Oftentimes, it's a silent moment, perhaps at the table, perhaps in certain contexts. You know, and it grabs people's attention to talk about people, talk negatively about people. But what we should aspire to do is to speak about positive things, speak about Yerushalayim, speak about Moser, speak about, and speak positively to people. Oh, this is also an unbelievable Medrash. The Medrash tells us that a person once saw two birds fighting, and one of the birds died in this battle, and the other bird flew away, returned with a blade of grass, and he put that blade of grass on the beak of the other bird, and he's Mechaim Mason. So a guy who's watching this, like, whoa. Obviously, that branch, that blade of grass, has the power to Mechaim Mason. Actually, I think I saw this a number of years ago, embellished more. Here, it's very short. And he says, "Well, I have this blade of grass. I got to go see if it works. I got to go see what I can do with this blade of grass. I got to go. It's Chiasa Mason blade of grass." And he goes, and the first dead thing he sees is a lion. He puts it on top of the lion. The lion wakes up. The lion is Chiasa Mason. The lion wakes up and kills him. That's the Medrash. What do we see from here? That there are things in life that are so powerful, but if they're misused, they can destroy a person. They can kill a person. That's the Nekuda. That's what Tevye, the Eved, was teaching us. This Nekuda, the mouths that we have, we can do so much good with them. Of course, the learning, and of course, the davening. But of course, to go ahead and to be mechazek other people, to make people feel good. And actually, he quotes this, and I was actually going to quote it. I read it. He quotes in general, but I saw this chiddush a number of years ago. It's an unbelievable chiddush that Eli Baruch Finkel, that's one of the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, who only passed away a number of years ago. It says an unbelievable word. He said, "How could kind?" I mean, I could have said this. I said this over in Parshas Bereishis, but it's the same. It's the same yisod. And this you should remember if you ever need an amazing idea for Parshas Bereishis. This is it. So, and he quotes it. I guess people say, Cain killed Hevel, yeah? What did Hevel do to deserve to die? We know there's no such thing as dying for no reason. So, it says that when Cain's korban was not accepted, he was his face was down, or something to that effect. Quote the pasuk exactly that Cain was sad after his korban was not accepted. Right, as the pasuk says. Ve'el Kain ve'el Minchosa lo sha'a. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't turn to his korban. Va'yichal Kain ma'od va'yiplu panov. His face was down. Says the Baruch Finkel Zatzal. So why did Hevel deserve to die? Because when he saw his brother's face down, he didn't say anything to him. Who said va'yirashel Kain lam achor alach? Kodesh Baruch Hu comes ahead and asks Cain, "Why are you so sad?" Okay, and he says, "If you don't get happy, sin rests at your doorstep." But essentially, we see that Hevel missed the boat. Hevel missed the opportunity. He saw that an awful fun of Shel Cain, and he didn't say, "How are you doing?" And that's why says Rabbi Baruch Finkel Zatzal, that's why Hevel deserved to pass away. Now, where do we see such a thing? I'll tell you. Because when Yosef at Tzaddik goes ahead and sees the Sarah Mashm and Sarah Ophim, what leads him to Geula? He says, "Lama Penechem Ramayom? Why are your faces sad?" And what did that bring? That brought him back to Geula. Yosef got out of the pit. He saved. He helped Mitzrayim. He brought the Jewish people down. He saved them. V'chule v'chule. But what do you see from here? There's a Yisod. The Yisod over here that is caring about others. When he sees somebody who doesn't look happy, I don't want to say it's a chiyum misa, but there's something very important about going ahead and seeing how they're doing. Rabbi Eliezer Baruch Finkel continues and he says, you know where else we see such a yisod? Sfiras HaOmer. 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva deserve to pass away. Why? Shalonogu kovet zebezeh. What do you see from here? You see from Cain and Hevel with the foundations of the world. Hevel, the fact that he didn't go ahead and say, Cain, what's wrong today? When he's over enough of fun of, you see that the cornerstone of the world is caring about other people. And since Hevel didn't necessarily care that much about Cain and him being downtrodden, he didn't say, "How are you doing today?" So, deserve to die. We know that Talmid of Rabbi Akiva were going to be the disseminators of the Torah, the transmitters of the Torah. And if you're going to be the transmitters of the Torah, the foundation of the world, you have to excel in Ben Yom L'Chaveru. Shalom Kovut Zebazet. Do we ever see such a thing that not giving honor to other people is a warrant for Chiyuv Misa of death? Very, very, very perplexing. But according to this whole Mahalach, it's absolutely true. Just like this foundation of the world physically needs to be somebody who cares about other people, so too the foundation of the Torah world, the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, has to be through people who care about other people. It's writ large, and this is going back to the original thing. The idea of Lashon Hara, not only is it terrible, can it destroy people? Can the tongue be the worst piece of meat? Right? Chayim v'hamavis b'yad Lashon. You can bring people to life, or you can put people to death, Rachman al-Latzlan. And this idea that tzedakah is only get 6 brachas, but giving somebody good words is 11 brachas, as the Maharal explains, because that's eternal. And we saw all those stories that we just mentioned. When you go ahead and you make somebody feel good, oh, you're great, you're great. Right? I'm sure people can, in their own lives, you can say, maybe a Rebbe at some point in high school or whatever, or somebody, or even a coach, Lahavdil, said something about you and then all of a sudden they gave you inspiration. It's so true. It's so true. A good word can have such power. It can always change a person's life. I mean, I'm sure there are all these stories. I'll tell you one more anecdote that to drive home this point. But you know, a person can say one line to, "Oh, you're really good. You're really sincere." One line. So first of all, the positive aspect. You never know what the power of your positive words can do. Number two, when you see somebody who's not happy and who's suffering, the hatzalah you can perform on him through your words is unbelievable. I'm part of this. Somebody recommended this WhatsApp group. It's called Twisted Parenting. Okay, we'll talk about it another time. This guy Avi Fishoff. It happens to be. It's a pretty intense WhatsApp group. It's about kids who need a lot of chizuk, and he sends out like powerful videos. And he sent out a video. I already erased it from my phone. I'll explain to you why. It's about this guy who grew up, not Jewish, totally not Jewish. There were Hebrew subtitles, so it must have went through some sort of Israeli thing. So this guy, he was came from a drunken, abusive home, whatever, terrible childhood, like mamish, like the worst of the worst. And I guess when he was a teenager already, that he got. I mean, we're talking like I'm gonna skip the whole story, like how bad his life was. But he was at a certain point. I think he had already bought a gun to do a school shooting, okay? And he had one friend. He had one friend who he stole from, cheated, was not nice to. But this one friend, for some reason, like, was always nice to him. And apparently, like, the day before, I mean, this is around the time of, in Colorado, around the time of whatever that's called, it's Columbine High. Yeah, it sounds like it was around that time, whatever. So he said, this guy, like, on his, like, worst day, he came over to him and said, like, let's go for pizza, let's go hang out, or let's go watch a movie, whatever it was. And he said a line, he said, the people who deserve love the most, they're the ones that need it the most. And he said, this guy, at the right time, in the right situation, he gave me love, he showed me warmth, and Baruch Hashem, you know, he saved me and many other people from certain, you know, destruction. No, it's much like that. But so it is, that here's this guy, I don't even know where he says in the video that, this guy ended up, you know, getting better, married, kids, whatever. And he said that the guy who gave him chizuk was in the audience when he was saying this over. But just a real life story that I heard this past week about a person who was about to. I mean, there's other stories. There are stories actually in Yerushalayim. They say about a certain Rav that I know of that saw somebody on the street and he looked sad and he went over to him and he was chazuk him and he told him that he saved him from demise. Anyway, but the point is that Lofnu Pono by Hevel. The Nakuda is, we don't understand, we don't necessarily, are not cognizant of the power of our words. Stam, you can take a guy from being, you know, a regular guy and send him flying to be a superstar with words that you can do it and you're amazing. You don't know how the cocos that you have. And I guess I can say the same thing about everybody here. We don't know our full potential. We'll never know our full potential. You just have so many of you, all of you, have tremendous kochos, tremendous talents, and tremendous abilities. You have to just tap into them and soar. That's one. And the other element is that if a person looks sad, that you never know. You're a good word. You're okay. Oftentimes, you'll try to be nice to somebody who looks sad, and he'll brush you off. But you know, you do your part. That's another thing. If you go ahead and you try to be mechazek, try to uplift somebody who looks like they're not doing well, and he brushes you off, just know, A, you can save him anyway. And B, you did your part, and continue. Right? You just have to start the malacha. You don't have to worry about finishing it. So the nekuda is that not only should we, of course, not speak Lashon Hara, but any time we're involved in Lashon Hara, we're squandering an opportunity to so much good with our tongue and our words to mechazek others. Have a great Shabbos.